everyone. I'm actually doing some poetry slam. It's written by Jefferson Bethke, and I'm extremely honored to be able to do this today. Thank you all for all of your support. A guy came up to me the other night, and he asked me, "Who is your favorite artist?" And like most people do when they ask a question, he really didn't care about my answer, and he proceeded to tell me what he thought the true answer was. He continued to recognize a struggle about who he thought was the greatest of all time. He said, "I mean, is it Shakespeare? Is it Frost, Picasso, Michelangelo? Is it the Beatles, Rembrandt, Beethoven, Michael Jackson?" And he went on and on and on about who he thought was the greatest, not realizing even his infrastructure to answer that question was misled and outdated. So finally, I kindly smiled and said, "Okay, sir, now you ask me if I thought who was the greatest of all time, now you try to share yours. So let me share mine, because there is no debate about who is the greatest. See all those other artists that you mentioned? Yeah, the greatest made them. See this artist, he is a beast, the lion, the name above names. You don't realize it, but you encounter his art every day. And he deserves all the acclaim, he deserves all the fame, because when all other artists fade away, he remains. And By the way, his name is God, Yahweh, Creator, your Maker. He is infinitely creative, sir. There is no one greater." And I can tell it looks like you're starting to get mad at me, but don't be jealous just because your favorite artist might bend words and my favorite artist bends galaxies. See, in the palm of his hands, he holds all the sand, the author of life when he whispered, "Let us make man." I mean, what if I told you that you are God's poetry? You were created because someone else was creative. See, long ago, God picked up his eternal paintbrush, dipped in his glory, placed us in his story, and said, "They will live for me." And I know it sounds outlandish, but we are not the product of random chance. In fact, we are not the vine, we are just the branches. In the same way, we are not the artist, we are the canvas. Because in an instant, God started to make art shaped uniquely and beautiful, individual from the start. And he touched the canvas of flesh and said, "This one will be better than the rest. I'll give him so much of my image so that even when they're hot off the press, you can still see the image off my breath." And so he crafted and made every arm and leg, ligament, tendon, muscle, blood vessel, vein, and artery. And he said, "They are going to have a part of me." And right about then, this guy butted back in and said, "Okay, that sounds good and all, but I'm wretched and filthy. God won't use me, will he?" And I said, "That's what's awesome about God. It doesn't matter what we've done, he can still use us. Even though other artists, once they have broken equipment, they start to make excuses. God instead doesn't refuse us, nor does he accuse us. Instead, he redeems us, and Jesus promises never to lose us. So stop saying that you're dirt. Stop saying that you're scum of the earth. You ought to be careful how you talk about someone else's work. Because if we've trusted in Jesus, we can stop saying you are guilty. All that is anyways is just pride clothed in false humility. I mean, if we believe that we truthfully are made in his likeness, we can stop saying that we are wretched, filthy, shameful, and guilty. And instead, knowing that we trusted in Jesus, we are righteous. I mean, don't you see that we're drawn to repentance because of his kindness? So how dare you call yourself worthless when he says you are priceless? But see, the best part is that God is ultimately for God, so he'll get glory out of you whether you like it or not. But even temple ruins point to you, an architect, even if the temple was shot. And all I'm trying to say is that if God is behind it all, why insist on giving him no glory at all? I mean, he is the one that gave Van Gogh the imagination that changed the face of painting. Tell me who else is responsible for Mozart to start composing at age 5 with no formal training. He is the one that gave Beethoven the hands that played Beauty on the keys, and for Pete's sake, he made Stevie Wonder one of the greatest musicians of our time, and he couldn't even see. And that's why, in the same way that our lives are borrowed time, this poem is borrowed lines. It would be ridiculous for me to say that this poem is mine, because we are not self-sustaining, nor are we self-creating. Technically, nothing we do is original. We are just imitating. And that's not a diss. All I'm trying to say is this, that even our own creativity is nothing more than an outflow of his. And that's enough. I'll end with this. You know that quote about giving credit where credit is due? Well, I think that it's time we gave God his rightful credit too, because he is a God in the business of making all things new. And here's the truth. He is not through making masterpiece out of you. Thank you.
Next, we have Emily Parton, and she deserves an introduction. She's going to share her testimony, and you do not understand how big this is. Once you hear her story, you'll realize how big of a, I guess you could say, a feat this is. She's stepping out of her comfort zone, doing something awesome this morning. So, Emily, come on up, share your story. Okay.
Start by thanking Justin for believing in me and inspiring me to share my testimony. For several months ago, I started feeling very convicted and led to share my story with others. But I've either always been embarrassed or too shy to share it. Then I had a moment when the light bulb in my head went off and I realized that this isn't about me. It's about God and the work that he did in my life. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to share my testimony with the youth group, and I had never felt more used by God than I did in that moment. And that's when I realized that I have a passion for this. God has put such a desire in my heart to reach others and tell them that you're not alone in whatever it is that you're going through. God is with you every step of the way, and I feel like I'm proof of that. So this is my story. For me, everything started in middle school. I changed schools in sixth grade, and I was already so nervous and so shy, and I just wasn't good at making friends. So my first day there, during lunch, I sat my tray down by a group of girls, and I went up to go grab something. And when I came back, I saw that they had moved my tray to the other end of the table all by itself. That totally devastated me, and I was so embarrassed. And I just didn't even try to make friends the rest of my sixth grade year. I was pretty much just having a pity party. But in seventh grade, I decided to try out for the school's cheer team, and I made it. It gave me a lot more confidence, and I finally started to make friends. But the friends that I was making weren't the best influence on me. I started compromising my morals and beliefs just to try to fit in and make people like me. But I had friends, and that was all I cared about. Then it came back around time to try out for eighth grade cheer team, and I didn't make it. And as dramatic as it may sound, I honestly thought my life was over. It completely crushed me. Shortly after that, I had these girls that started messaging me on social media. They would tell me that I was ugly, fat, stupid, and that nobody liked me. And let me just say something to all the young girls that are here today. Never let anyone's opinion of you define you, because God has already defined you. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and made in his image, and you're beautiful. Back to what I was saying. After that, I just started shutting down. I would literally stand in front of the mirror and cry because I hated what I saw. I started feeling really depressed, and I started having a lot of anxiety. I would get so nervous about everything, so nervous that I would have horrible stomach pains. And I did not want to admit that I had anxiety because I thought that made me weird. So I just focused on the stomach pain. And I ended up going to so many doctors and getting so many tests done, only to find out that there wasn't anything wrong with my stomach. And that's when I had to accept the fact that I did have an anxiety disorder. Then I started high school, and things just got worse. My depression and anxiety got out of control. I would have a panic attack every single morning before school. I would go to bed crying, and I would wake up crying. I started missing so much school that my parents pulled me out, and I started homeschooling. I guess I thought that leaving the school would make everything better, but it didn't. I started to go to counseling, But it was like I was so down that there wasn't anything that anyone could do or say to lift me up. The doctor ended up giving me some medicine to take when I felt like my anxiety was really bad. But I started taking it anytime I went somewhere. I became dependent on it. It got to the point where my body was just used to it, so it didn't help. I just felt like I had hit rock bottom. I thought that I was a burden to others and that everyone hated me, which was so not true because I actually had a lot of family and friends that loved me and that cared about me, but I was too blind to see it. I was blocking God out. I thought that if God really did love me, he wouldn't let me go through all this. I thought that he'd abandoned me, but I had abandoned him. I couldn't see my purpose in life. I was so miserable, I just wanted my life to end. And one night, I was just done with everything. I thought the pain that I was feeling would never go away. I convinced myself that everyone would be better off without me. So I made a plan to take my life. Shortly after making that plan, I heard a song by Francesca Battistelli. The song was actually called Emily. One of the lyrics says, "Emily, I know you think it won't get any better. Life has gone and gotten so tough, but circumstances will change your mind and time will help you see." It then went on to say that God loves you so much that he hung the moon and stars for you and he's never given up on you. That was like my come to Jesus moment. I mean, really? A song titled Emily? I don't think that God could have been any clearer. I knew that he had planned for me to hear that song at that time for a reason. I just started praying that God would forgive me and that he would change my heart, and I decided to rededicate my life to him. The next few years were just a huge learning experience for me. Everything slowly started to change. I started spending time with God and time in his word. I began looking at life in a whole new way. I learned that I don't want to be like everyone else. I want to be who God called me to be. I was able to step back and see that life isn't about fitting in. It's about standing out. Life is all about being a light for Christ. It's about glorifying him and growing in him and showing everyone his love. Life is all about living for him and nobody else. I saw this quote that said, "If you have a pulse, you have a purpose." And that is so true. God created everyone for a reason. He's shown me that I'm meant to do so much more than I would have ever thought of. No matter what you're going through or where you have been, God has a great plan for you. But what I realized is that you have to participate in his plan. You have to be receptive to his plan, and you have to be willing to follow his plan, even if it's out of your comfort zone. I just wanted to stay in my little shell and let him work for me, but it doesn't work like that. I had to completely surrender my life to him and let him use me. I feel like I know now why I went through all that. I believe that God uses our testimonies to touch other people because everyone has a story. No matter who you are, you have been broken, you are broken, or you will be broken at some point in your life. And so let God use you. And I just want to end by saying something to my fellow graduates. Hunter, Taylor, Sydney, and Jenny, I love y'all. No matter what road each of you take, just follow where he leads you. And I think I can speak for all of us, and I say that we're not completely sure what the future holds, but we know who holds our future.
I told you, it was a little different. She came to me a couple months ago, around December actually, and she said, "I want to share my story." And I was like, "You haven't said two words to me. I didn't get in front of a group of people and talk." And she got up that night and she knocked it out of the park. And God is constantly using her and doing some great and mighty things through her. If you will, we turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at some scripture this morning that applies, I feel, to our graduates, but it also applies to the many people that sit in this room this morning as followers of Christ. We got some NASCAR fans in here because every week I hear Mr. George Maddox talking to somebody about Jeff Gordon. So this beginning of this sermon is going to relate to a few of you. I believe that the most recognized flag in NASCAR, because there's a bunch of them. You only really see probably the green flag, which means what, Mr. George? What's the green flag mean? What's the green flag mean? Somebody. Go. All right, what's the white flag mean? All right. And then the checkered flag is what? It's finished. It's done. It's over. The checkered flag, I believe that that's probably the most recognized flag in NASCAR. When they're racing the races, you could never watch a damn NASCAR in your life, but you know what it means when they're waving the checkered flag. You know what it means when they're waving that flag and the cars are coming through and people are pumping their fists. Some of those guys are actually bumping other cars because they cut them off and other stuff. You know, NASCAR's, that's a redneck sport, amen? So, but, you know, the finish line, the end. I believe that the checkered flag, I believe that the finish line marks, you know what, it's over, it's done, it's through. And this morning, as we sit here and recognize these five graduates, and we celebrate the accomplishments that they have taken part in this weekend, I think it's important for each and every one of us to realize that we have to finish the race. The race isn't over. The race isn't over for you guys just because you walked across the stage this weekend and got a diploma. The race isn't over for you. I love that quote she used. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. If you're breathing right now, you still need to be doing things for Jesus. I think that the thing that we struggle with so much as Christians is we think, you know what? I get to a certain point. I get to a certain time. I'm too comfortable in church. I've gone to church all my life. Until our time is done, until we finish the race, that's when we can stop doing things for Jesus, because we'll be in his presence. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. It says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, but he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Paul writes this and he's saying, you know what? Strip away, get rid of, break the chains, let go of the stuff that is keeping you from running the race. I believe that there are too many Christians, people who proclaim to be Christians, proclaim to be followers of Christ, who aren't running the race because they let something hold them back. Emily shared her story. It touched a lot of people. It touched a lot of our girls when she shared it on a Wednesday night. And I believe that she could have spent till today allowing that to be a roadblock for why God couldn't use her, why she couldn't do something for Christ. But she didn't let it be that. And I believe as Christians today, the people that sit in this room, if we're going to proclaim to be Christians, then we need to strip away. We need to let go of the things that are keeping us from running this race. You can't finish the race if you're not running. You can't finish the race if you've given up. You can't finish the race if when times get tough, and we're going to talk about this in a second, if you just stop, you quit. You stop running. You know, 7 out of 10 graduates, I mentioned this last year, I will probably continue to mention this until the statistic changes. 7 out of 10 graduates leave the church. They leave the church. They don't come back. They graduate and they go about their life. How do we fix that? I believe that the church has to step up and say, what can we do? What can we do? Not just to keep these five people connected. What can we do to reach other people who aren't connected? What can we do to minister to them? What can we do to keep them involved? What can we do them to keep them plugged in? I think it takes this. I think it takes everybody running the race together. There's some of you in here that I look up to spiritually. And I can see you off in the horizon when I'm running my thing, but I'm sitting back there. I'm just trying to get through, all right? Sometimes it's one of those tough points in the race where it gets hard. We have to endure something. You look in that verse, in verse 2, it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. If we go back to the end of verse 1, it says, let us run with endurance. Endurance. I believe if I had to define endurance, and I'm a simple guy, if I had to define endurance, it would be the strength not to quit. The strength not to quit. Endurance, it builds up over a period of time, just like a callus does. But when you build up that endurance, you can run for long periods of time. PK, where are you at? You're a runner. How many miles can you run straight through without stopping on a good day? 9 miles. Yeah, I can't make a quarter of a mile. But I'm not a runner. But he's built up endurance. He didn't hit the first day he walked out of his house and I'm going to start running. He didn't run 9 miles. It built to that. It trained for that. And as we as Christians, we have to realize if we're going to run the race, we have to realize we're going to have to endure some things. There's going to be a time where we have to press on. We have to continue to push forward with endurance. We get instructions for Paul right here in the scripture of how to do that. How do you finish the race? How do you run this race? Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Everything that you do, everywhere that you go, every situation that you're in, how do you continue to finish the race? How do you continue to run this race as a Christian? Keep your eyes locked in on him. This morning, some of you walked into this room and you're not a graduate. You're just a guest. You're a visitor. You're a member here. And you've been coming to church for a long time. You know what this church thing's about, but your eyes have become off of Christ. You've taken them off. You're not running maybe the way that you should. You're not willing to fight through the pain that endurance makes you go through sometimes. And you're distracted. This morning, and in just a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. And I want you to be willing to strip away those things that are holding you back. Let go of the stuff that is pulling your focus off of Christ. Let go of the things that are removing you from this race and get back in the game. Get back in the race and continue to do what God has called us to do. We move on to Philippians 3:14. It says this, Paul writes, I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us to. Paul encourages, he says, you know what? Finish the race. He said, I press on to reach the end of the race. I press on. It goes back to that thing, endurance. Pressing on, pressing through. I'm not a runner, but from what I've been told, that when you start, if you can kind of get through that first wall, you're good. If you can just kind of press through that, if you can fight through it, everything else, it starts getting better. As Christians, if we can say, you know what, when trials and tribulations come our way, if we can continue to press on. I'm not telling you you're not going to slow down, okay? I'm not telling you you're not going to slow down. But if you just keep your feet moving towards him, if you can keep your feet moving towards him, keep your eyes focused on him, continue to press into him, continue to press towards that goal, continue to press towards finishing that race. And Paul writes at the end of that verse, he says, you know what? I want to receive that heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us to. Man, that reward is better than any trophy. It's better than a nice bottle of water once you finish this race. And it's so much sweeter than that. And if we just have to finish the race. We have so many people in this room who are running at different speeds today. And I just want to encourage you, seniors, press on. No matter what comes your way in this world, as you close the chapter of this chapter in your life and you move on to the next one, you pass this mile marker, however you want to illustrate it, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. He's the one that's going to pull you through things. He's the one that's going to keep you going. He's the one that's going to be there for you when no one else is there. Again, I reference back to Emily. Emily said, you know what? God didn't leave me. I left God. And some of you this morning, you walked into this room and you're in the same boat. God didn't take his eyes off of you. Christ isn't not standing there anymore. Your eyes just aren't focused on him. You're not running towards him. We have to finish the race. Today is just, again, a mile marker for these graduates along the way. They're running, and they're running towards Jesus right now. And I pray that when they go on, they move on, and Sydney goes to college, you guys go to college, you continue to get your jobs and you work, that above everything, and I preach this at the baccalaureate service tonight, everything that you do can point towards Jesus. That's what finishing the race is all about, people. In your life, I don't care if you're the oldest person in this room or the youngest person in this room, everything that we do as Christians should point towards Jesus, because we're running the race. And our race isn't over. Our race isn't finished. But today, if you're in this room and you checked out, I want to pray that you check in. Get back in the race. Jimmy V, I'm a SportsCenter fanatic. I love ESPN. And every month during basketball, every year during basketball season, college basketball season, they do this Jimmy V week. They raise a whole bunch of money for cancer patients and support. And Jimmy V said this in his speech, his famous speech. He said, "Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Whatever you do, whatever you face, whatever you're going through right now," and church, this is not just for our seniors, this is for you. Whatever you are facing right now, continue to press towards Christ. Continue to move towards Him. As a pastor, I've been in your shoes. I've wanted to quit. Not just quit my job, not just quit being a Christian. I just wanted to quit, period. I wanted to give everything up. I wanted to stop. Didn't want to run this race anymore. But I realized, I said, you know what? If I take myself out of it, I'm the only one that's given up. God's not quit on me. He hasn't given up on me. I'm the one that's given up. I'm the one that can't fight through this endurance. I can't fight through this pain because I know that the other side is so much sweeter. If I can just finish the race. 2 Timothy 4:7, we're going to end here this morning. It says this, and I love this. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, "I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have remained faithful." Those were some of Paul's last words before he dies. And as we celebrate these seniors this morning, many of them have fought that good fight through high school. Some of you can think back and say, "Ooh, I do not want to go back." Some of them have finished the race. They've walked across this stage now. They've walked across the stages at their school, and they're done. It's over. And they're moving on to a next chapter in their life. Do what Paul said at the end of there. Remain faithful. Remain faithful no matter where you go or what you do. Remain faithful in everything that we move forward to. Some of you in here are a little bit closer to what Paul's talking about. He said, "You know what? I'm done. My life is almost over. I'm about to literally finish this race." But my cry at the end of the day is I want to say, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I remain faithful. I want to do something different this morning. As you bow your head and close your eyes, I want to encourage you and ask you, in just a second, I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a time of invitation. We have 5 seniors in here that some are going to go off to college, some are going to stick around. And today being graduate recognition service, I would love to invite you, if you're willing to, in just a second, to the altar to pray for these. You may not know them by name. You might not have a great relationship with them. But just lift them up that wherever they go, whatever they do, and whoever they marry, what relationships they have, their kids, everything that they do will point towards Jesus. If you're in this room this morning and you've come in here with burdens, you've come on in here with weight on your shoulders, you come in here and you're struggling and you're not running the race, I pray this morning that you will move forward. You'd rather come to the altar, grab somebody that you are have a great relationship and just say, "Can you pray for me?" I pray this morning that you will strip away those things, that you will let go of those things and you will get back in the race. Maybe you're in here this morning and you're not even in the race. You don't know what being in the race means. You don't know what following after Christ is. I would love, Brother Craig would love, myself would love to show you in God's word what it truly means to follow after Christ. I want to show you in God's word what it means to really be in the race as a Christian. Maybe today you want to rededicate your life. You want to say, I've been checked out for a while. I want to check back in. I want to get plugged back in. I want to get plugged back into the race. I'm going to pray. You make a decision. You do what the Lord is calling you to do. If the Lord is calling you to do something, if the Lord is calling you to plug back in, if the Lord is calling you to get plugged back into this race, and you say no, put a check mark beside the enemy name because he has won the battle. He's won that battle. Do something today. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for these seniors. Thank you for this church that is recognizing them. God, I thank you for just everything that you do in our life. God, I pray to this morning as we have this time of invitation that people will respond to your word. God, they will respond to your spirit. God, that you will move in us and through us. God, that you will allow us to do something that's maybe out of our comfort zone this morning. Responding to in a certain way. God, but I pray that you will use these seniors as they go forward in their life, that you'll use them in a mighty way, that they will do great things for you. God, but I pray also for this church, that we will do great things and mighty things for you as we minister not to just to these seniors, but to the people in our community, and we reach out beyond these walls. God, thank you for your love and your grace and mercy. Do what only you can in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.